grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. St. John chapter 4 is a veritable string of pearls. One precious and edifying thought after another from the lips of Jesus. Much of the chapter, including the events of today's lesson, takes place in Samaria in a town called Sychar. It was an historic place, John says, near the field that Jacob had given to Joseph. And it was the site of Jacob's well. There it was that Jesus asks a woman for a drink of water, and in the ensuing conversation tells her that he is the water of life. He also knows everything about her, telling her that she has had five husbands, and the man with whom she is now living is not her husband. He tells her that salvation is from the Jews, not from someone, in her words, this mountain, and that he is the Messiah that she had mentioned, the Messiah that had been promised. All this happens, we are told, after his disciples go into town to buy food. And as the disciples return, she goes into town to tell people of this most remarkable conversation. And now the disciples are back and they urge Jesus to eat. As the request for a drink of water had turned into a discourse on the water of life, so now the invitation to eat elicits these words from Jesus: I have food to eat that you do not know about. What is this food? It is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will but yours be done. We must not trivialize these words about the will of the Father. The incarnate and only begotten Son of God must, according to the will of the Father, give his life a ransom for many, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That world includes this despised race of Samaritans. It includes this woman who had gone through five husbands and now lived in adultery. It includes you and me. There are all kinds of notions about the work of Jesus. That he came to make this life, this society, this world a more peaceful, pleasant, productive, beautiful, and healthy place. But what does Jesus say? We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Already as a 12-year-old in the temple, Jesus had said, "Do you not know that it is necessary for me to be about the things of my Father?" The work of Jesus is, in a word, your redemption. Jesus then goes on with his disciples at the well to speak profound words about harvest, wages, sowing, and reaping. One who has an agricultural background can perhaps relate a little more to the joy of harvest. One who has experienced in those things knows that you can have a field white to the harvest, about which your hope and expectation has been growing and becoming more certain day by day, from the first green blade that appeared. You can know that in one day, 2 days away from that harvest, a hailstorm can come and flatten, shatter, ruin, and totally destroy the entire harvest. These words about fields that are white unto harvest have long been used to encourage and promote mission work. That is indeed appropriate. But these words are also an article of faith. Looking at the Samaritans coming out of the town, looking at the woman, looking at our troubled community, our nation, and our world, the eye of flesh certainly cannot discern that there is anything that resembles a field ripe unto the harvest. But it is. Christ, our Lord, has ordained the ministry of preaching, and it is through preaching, as through means, as we confess, that our hearts are converted to believe. There is a power, not visible to the eye, a power in baptism, in Christ's Holy Supper, in preaching, and in the Holy Absolution, that is a power that is real, not at all evident. Yet, through these means, some believe. A remnant is saved. The wages, Jesus uses that word, the wages of this blessed work consist of those who believe. For through this work, fruit is gathered for eternal life. Preaching is a joyous work because it is Jesus' work. The writer of the fourth Psalm wrote, "You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound." The final figure that Jesus puts forth is that of sower and reaper. They rejoice together, he says. He who sows is first and foremost Jesus himself. The revealed word of God, given through apostles, prophets, evangelists, but culminating in our Lord himself, is the sowing of the gospel. Through the proclamation of that prophetic word, by God's faithful servants of the Old Testament and New, hearts believe unto righteousness, and that is the reaping being done. So it is no shame that the disciples reap that for which they did not labor, as do we, and as the church has done and will do for all time to come. What joy that you are a co-worker with Christ, the sower. The sower and the reaper rejoice together. That which he planted, you reap. You share his joy over one sinner who repents. Your wealth, then, is not measured in the material things of this world, but in heavenly treasure. Your salvation and the joy of the redeemed. In Jesus' name, amen.